What's up, y'all? Yo, this is about to go down. I finally got my friend, Dr. Sunny Smith, on the podcast, and I'm so excited. We are talking about the possibilities at hand and using your momentum to keep you moving forward right after this break. Y'all stick with us. I'll be right back.
Welcome back, Tribe. You are listening to Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box, where we invite doctors, dentists, and medical entrepreneurs who are breaking the mold, stepping outside the box as entrepreneurs, and practicing on their terms to share their journey, wisdom, and their inspiration with the world. I am your host, Dr. Myesha Claiborne. My calling is to help doctors find freedom, fulfillment, and full self-expression. I have helped dozens of medical professionals transform their mindset, leverage their skill set, and build profitable businesses and careers they love. Now, let's get to the good stuff. But before we do, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you never miss an opportunity for inspiration, motivation, and empowerment with me and our amazing guests. Now, let's take it to the next level, y'all. Here we go.
All right, we are here on Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box, and I'm so excited to have my friend, my colleague, Dr. Sunny Smith. She's a family doc like me, and she is the owner of Empowering Women Physicians. Now, Sunny and I have been running in the same soul circles for a while, but it took us a minute to actually connect. And, you know, once we connected, it was like we were sisters from another mister, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm just so excited and so thankful, Sunny, that you came on the show. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, and I'm so glad to be here with you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course, of course. So, you know, I always ask, I gotta know, tell us your backstory. Once upon a time, back in when I was born. I know that's like such an open-ended question. Tell us how you came to this point of empowering women physicians.
Yeah, that is a great question. So I, as you mentioned, I'm a family doctor, and I spent my whole life as an academic family physician and teaching and running a free clinic and being a course director and stuff like that. And then so people who know me know my story is that I then got in a bike accident in Tahiti. And that's sort of where things took a different turn that I never would have imagined they would have. So I broke my arms, I broke my face, I couldn't do anything. And I was laid up for a while and I couldn't stand, couldn't care for myself. And that's when I discovered podcast, because I had a head injury and I couldn't read and I couldn't, you know, like watch TV. I had to do brain rest. And so my husband would put my earbuds in my ear, press play through PMG. Some physicians had recommended to listen to the Life Coach School podcast as something to, like, when you can't change your circumstance, like say your arms are broken and your face is broken and you can't stand up, then you can change the way you think about stuff. Because I was pretty pissed off. I was in the situation I was in and blaming others and blaming the world for why things were the way they were. And if I could only go back and replay time, I would not be the way that I was. Mm. You can't change time. So can't change what happened. So I actually came to see it as like really a blessing to slow down and really look at the busyness I had created in my life, because I was doing a lot, of course, as we all do as physicians. And then, you know, even by academic standards, I got a 6-year promotion it was like for 6 years work in 3 years time, they give you an accelerated promotion. And so like, nice. That was the time in which I was working. So I was just doing a lot of stuff. And so to be still and see the contrast of my stillness with everybody else's, I was like, you left your house today. You stood up today. Yeah. Did you feed yourself today? Yeah. You don't have that much to complain about. It just kind of, it readjusts everything that you think is important when the simplest things in life are going to be like a huge achievement to be able to do. So yeah, I didn't know I had an app on my phone that was called podcasts until that moment.
Right.
And I'd always been like a self-help junkie, you know, like a personal development. Like I look back at all the books I have on my shelf for all the years, like I've always liked this kind of stuff. But I think, getting exposed to it hour after hour after hour after hour, all day, right, every day for weeks and months on end, it really changed the way I saw things. And then sort of when I got to current day, then she was like, and if you want to train, I actually am offering training. And I was like, wow, I think I might do this. So that's how I fell into it. And it seemed like once you do something, it seems like your whole life has led you to that moment, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. Sometimes I always tell people, you know, and especially my clients, like, sometimes if you don't listen to the knock, God will drop an anvil.
Yes, I feel like there had been a lot of knocking that I was not listening to. Right. The world was like, sit your ass down.
Right.
We're going to teach you what you need to know right now.
Right. It's like, look, if you knock us down, I'm going to knock you down for a moment, long enough for you to get this learning so that you could do what you were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Clearly. Yeah. You know, and then I remember when you said that you had put in your notice and transitioned out.
Yeah. So yeah. I had been, you know, full time. And then I had actually this whole arguing with reality thing. Our free clinic that I worked at under the current administration, the federal administration, we lost our funding because the grants we used to apply for were no longer even there. You couldn't even apply for them. And so we went to this phase where it was looking like I was going to have to go part-time. And I was like, no, like, for the love of God, I would never work part-time. What kind of person works part-time? I was like fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. And of course, then I had this accident and then I went back and I'm like, no, of course I'm going to be full-time. And I was like, what am I doing? Of course I don't need to be full-time. So I started kind of cutting. And then once you start cutting, you're like,
this feels kind of fun.
Because I started this business, you know, that was very meaningful, and coaching other women physicians in the same way. It was deeply meaningful for me. It was deeply meaningful for them to prioritize and look at what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, something's got to give. So you got to make some space. And so we made more space and more space and more space. And then October 1st, which is like just over a month ago as we're recording, I got my last scheduled check from my university, and am now, I still have my clinical professor faculty appointment through the end of the year. And I have an email in my inbox about what day do I want to change to voluntary instead of like a traditional appointment. And I haven't, I'm like not turned it in yet, but but yeah, I'm kind of all in on helping people in this way than in the way that I used to help people. And what's interesting, there's so many interesting things about it, but I used to invest all my time into educating medical students, and they of course come in orientation and I'm in charge of them for their 4 years.
Yeah.
And then they have to go to residency and then they come out the other side. And I've been doing this long enough that a lot of my people are now attendings, but now when I work with attendings, it's like the change is so fast because they already are physicians and they already have expertise and they already have impact and they already, you know, often have, say, a spouse or a child or a home or a, you know, whatever they're going to do, all their assets are available to them and they just have to like pivot a tiny bit, and the ripple effect of their change immediately on the world is quite significant. It is with the med students too, of course.
Yeah.
Culture of medicine.
Yeah.
Aging generations, but it's just interesting and different to think that like you don't have to wait 7 to 10 years to change what it's like for practicing physicians when you start with people who are already practicing. So it's just, and also many of my students are now attending. So I've been working even with some of them, which is very interesting. Even
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's so interesting because, you know, I love what you said about there being like this change that's so fast, because then all you have to do is do a very small pivot, because I think we're conditioned, like, because we have spent such a long period of time that it's going to take a long period of time again. And it's almost like we've already built a momentum inside of our own, you know, our own profession, our own skill set, that all you have to do is just make one little adjustment and boom, you're off in a different direction and learn a little bit of skill, like learn one other skill you know, one other, like, you know, sales, marketing, things we didn't learn in medical.
Yes, entrepreneurial skills we didn't learn. But the thing is, we are already experts in so many things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, oh, the doctor says. Mm-hmm. So in the community, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you really have a lot of authority and expertise and knowledge and skill, and it's hard earned. Mm-hmm. And we can apply that. And we're also educated, we're hard workers, like all of this stuff. We have these characteristics. You can apply that in so many areas of life. And we all have our passions and things that mean something to us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's that your heart is calling you to do? There's mm-hmm. so many of us that have this thing that, like, if only I weren't so busy, I would mm-hmm. blah, 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 whatever those types of things are. Mm-hmm. And we think it's clearly a limiting belief, right? But this is A, I've invested so much time, money, energy, effort, or that nothing will pay as well. A lot mm-hmm. of physicians think as what they're doing, seeing patients. So there's both the clinical skill set, and then there's also the income. And then this pandemic, I feel like, kind of shuffled that all up for a lot of people in a very different way. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of physicians are looking at things differently because what they thought was always going to be a certain way didn't turn out to be always that way.
Yeah, it's interesting that whole thing that you said, I spent all this time and this money. Mm-hmm. And I had that exact conversation when I was on the brink of transitioning out of my practice, when I was, you know, I was thinking about selling my practice, and before I had determined it was going to happen. And I was like, I spent all this time and all this money to become a doctor. Am I going to, like, just leave that? And there was some point, and perhaps it was when I was in my master practitioner training, my NLP training, you know, moving into my trainer's training, that it reframed for me. Like, what if, mm-hmm. and I say this all the time, what if all of that time and money that you spent training was for this?
Right.
You know, like, it was exactly for this. And the clinical practice of medicine was simply part of that journey to get you to that next step, mm-hmm. you know, and who knows how many careers you're supposed to have.
I mean, I don't know, right? Like, I'm 45 now. Like, what will my life be like at 50, 55, 60, 65? Oh. We have no idea, but we know that our life has led us to this journey. Like, when you go through med school and residency, when you leave residency, you're not like, well, I don't know. And you feel terrible and mourn the loss. You're like, no, I'm always meant to be moving beyond my residency, or I'm always meant to be moving beyond that first attending job to my second attending job or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think for a lot of people, it's just believing wherever you were is the foundation upon which you're building the next stage, whatever that starts to look like. And for some people, again, like with me and with many others, like, even just starting to be like, and that next phase might be not 60 hours a week.
Yes.
Yeah. It might be 40 hours, which we call part-time in medicine, right? Or it might be 32 or 20 hours or whatever, you know, because many people feel like you just have to do everything in the cookie cutter box way mm-hmm. that it's handed to you. And it's like, I've never really done things in this cookie cutter way, right? Because I always worked in this, you know, free clinic basement of a church. So it was always kind of like, charting my own path, I guess is how you would say it, or something, mm-hmm. Making your own path in the way in the world, given what exists, what can I make exist so that it kind of honors who I am and how I want to practice and how I want to be in the world and what I stand for and all of this. Because, you know, like, I tried doing 15 minute visits in community health centers because I wanted to advocate for underserved populations, but I was like, but I don't want to do it in 15 minute visits, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. anyway, I think we're just always evolving into the next versions of ourselves. And it's amazing now. I think this community of physicians who are kind of taking on this work of like, what we think and feel and believe matters, and we have agency and we have change, and mm-hmm. we, like, it's up to us to become the change that we want to see.
Yeah.
Either in medicine, outside of medicine, affecting medicine. So it's been a lot of fun getting to know people like you.
That's what I love about empowering women physicians, that you really pull for this, the conversation, the expandedness of conversation. And what I love about your community, and I was telling you, you know, before we got on the call, before we got on live, that, you know, I'm in a lot of groups, but I'm not super active in a lot of groups because I'm not pulled forth to share. And what you pull for that engagement, And I think what I love is the authenticity that you bring, you know, like you're going to be you. And that's,
yeah.
And I love that because that's how I am. I'm like, look, mm-hmm. I'm going to be who I'm going to be. Take it or step, you know?
Yeah. I'm
not for everyone. It's all good. But I'm here on a mission, and it's clear.
I'm gonna be me. If you want to come, we're going together. And if you don't like it, there's other places for you. Goodbye.
Absolutely. So that's what I love about empowered women positions. Is that it's so authentic, and it's a safe space. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's just so great. What one of the things that you said that I thought was really great just now is, you know, like you're called, you never know what you're going to be called to. We don't know what 5 years is going to be mm-hmm. for us, right? Mm-hmm. I thought that when I started coaching in entrepreneurship and business, like that was the thing. That was it. No, wait, let me even back it up further. I started coaching people, the doc moms in burnout. I was like, that's it. This is the thing. This is it. And then came the career transition in entrepreneurship. And I was like, oh no, this is the thing. This is it. Oh yes. And now I'm like, wait a second. NLP, this is the thing. But I don't know. You know, it's like,
it's all the thing.
And I think it's just important. And I think this is what I kind of heard in the background is it's important to transition as many times as you need to get to continue to be in a place that we stand for and in alignment mm-hmm. with your values and alignment with what you need, what fulfills you. Mm-hmm. It's okay to continue to along that path and to continue to evolve. And I really love that. And you help women do that in your programs.
Yeah, that is so much fun. I mean, whereas it, just like you said, for you, it was Dr. Moms burned out, and then it was entrepreneurship, and then it was NLP. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as you said, you just live in alignment with mm-hmm. what you stand for, what you believe in, what you know, what mm-hmm. you're pulled, what you're called to. Mm-hmm. And then people are called to you if that resonates with them, right? And then mm-hmm. things evolve over time. Like, I never ever would have guessed that things would look exactly like they do right now. Like, people are coming to me, right, for all this business entrepreneurship stuff because mm-hmm. they're like, that lady runs $1 million business. She's gonna know what to do. Like, let's get her to help us. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I spent my whole life running a free clinic and like never even had a patient pay me ever. Okay, not ever. I did some urgent care shifts and other stuff, right? Yeah, they did, right? But like, this was not, I wanted to help people because I was like, you're suffering because of what you're thinking. You're thinking you're trapped. You're thinking your life is over. You're thinking you're stuck. You're thinking you're miserable. Let's work on that. Right. And then that's sort of like how, and I was like, and let's go to Bora Bora because that was my dream. Cause I decided.
I remember when you posted that. I was like, she didn't take it.
You know what? You know what's funny is that Maisha, today, actually November 9th, I haven't posted anything about this today, but today is the actual day 1 year ago that my Facebook group, became a group that I never, ever, ever intended to have a group. But here's what happened. Here's exactly why I have a group. It's because I made this podcast. I did coaching. I did that all for a year.
Right.
And I had said on the podcast that I was going to give away a trip to Bora Bora to someone who'd been listening to the podcast, but had never been a client, like never, I didn't know they were really in my world, mm-hmm. but that implemented some of what I was teaching and made a change right. in their life.
Right.
And I just wasn't organized enough because I'm like very last minute to get any systems in place to make that happen. So I was like, how could I give this away fast? Because someone actually, she ended up in that summer coaching program that just this past summer that, uh-huh. that you came into with us. She met me in real life and she was like, you're Sunny Smith, right? I was like, yeah. She's like, aren't you giving away a trip to Bora Bora? I'm like, A, you recognize me. B, you listen to my podcast. C, you know I'm supposed to give away a trip. D, I've not planned any way to give away this trip at all. Like, I'm sure I have to get like a web page and I need like registrations. And then I was like, it was like less than a month away.
Right.
So it was only a few weeks away. So then I was like, I'm just going to post it on Facebook and we'll get a bunch of women together. And then honestly, what happened is that, you know, because people had been, and I knew because sometimes people would direct message me on Facebook that they had been listening and they had been making some real, changes. Like they went and got mental health help, right? That because I said it was okay to do that, or like they take a half day off for an appointment for themselves. And it's like these tiniest things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it was big things. Mm-hmm. And so people started posting about those things they were doing a year ago, and they were like meaningful things. Mm-hmm. And then some of, and then people just started posting meaningful things who had no idea I had a podcast or what was going on. And people would really be like, I have no idea what's going on in this group. There's something about beaches and something about everyone and something about people talking about hard stuff they went through in their life.
So, dude, I don't even know how I got in the group. Somebody invited
someone in the group, added you.
And I was like, sure, empowering women physicians, I'm down. Yeah. I didn't know what the group was about. And then I saw this post that somebody was giving away. I didn't know who you were at the time. I just saw you post, I'm giving away a trip to Bora Bora. And I was like, this ain't real. She ain't giving no trip to Bora Bora. And then next thing I know, yes, the retreat was awesome. I was like, the hell is this mess?
So I ended up, I'm a little crazy and I couldn't decide. And so, and I had all the admins vote and they all voted for a different person. And so I just brought five people and it cost a lot. And my husband was like, what are you doing? Like, I just couldn't decide. I love them all. So we all went and we had an amazing time. And the goal was to like transform your life and make it come back and make an impact.
Yes.
And anyway, the whole thing about that was like, it was my dream. We call this like the R line, the results. You can create any result you want in your life by believing that you can. And it seems crazy, you know, but if you really believe hard enough that you can and keep showing up in the world as if something is going to happen, then it happens.
Yes.
And mine was just, I just wanted to go create a business that took women physicians to Bora Bora to dream, enjoy, have fun, and come back and implement change in the world. And then it grew from there.
Let me just juxtaposition something for you.
I know.
There's something you said that I'm like, I cannot leave this show without juxtapositioning this, right? Runs a free clinic, $1 million business. People think, oh, runs a free clinic. The mindset, right? I'm trying here to serve people. I can't like charge people for my, I'm here to serve. No, ran a free clinic for how many years of your practice? Many a decade or so, you know, of your professional life. Mm-hmm. Builds $1 million business. Guess what? Still serving, still empowering, still making an amazing impact, right? And probably empowering 100 times more patients through the empowerment of doctors.
It is so interesting to look at it like that, right? When I have to look now at my time and where it is I spend my time, because I have to make a choice every minute, every hour, every whatever day, month, academic year for me is a choice. Where can I have the most impact? And I think I have learned or been learning that I think I can make more impact without spending as much time on direct patient care, because every day, half day, quarter that I'm doing that, I'm not doing the work that, I mean, I literally, there's like 100 people in my program right now. Every one of them's a physician. If on average they have 2,000 patients.
Yes.
And there really is a very significant ripple effect because, like, for instance, one example yesterday, I always have examples from like yesterday, today, the, you know, last week, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, not only because I have a podcast, not like that podcast is the end all be all, but it literally goes around the earth within like minutes. Mm-hmm. Anyone, anywhere on any continent can listen. It's very interesting and weird and phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so one of my clients who almost didn't sign up with me, like I did one extra last call at the end and she was like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. She started her own podcast. She has like, already is a leader in a certain field. And so she has lots of people following what she does. Mm-hmm. And her son yesterday made his own podcast and he's 10. And she started hers like a week or two ago.
Nice.
But so like all of her specialty and field, because she's already a leader there, is going to be impacted differently because she's going to tell them to believe bigger, dream bigger, think bigger. Mm-hmm. And then even her kids are thinking bigger and her husband is starting a business. And so I'm just saying like for every one person, and that's just like the family, friends, colleagues.
Yes.
And then people, my patient, my clients teach their patients these things for anxiety. They teach them for like not being able to drive on the freeway, for you know, whatever it is that they're suffering with.
Absolutely.
They teach their patients. So it's been like phenomenal to witness the ripple effect, which you're very well aware of, of, because nobody teaches us very much about what you believe matters and that you can create things that didn't exist. And so when you kind of just juxtaposed in your conversation just now, the like free clinic $1 million business, I think both of them, what I was thinking in my mind at that time, thinking about what was the same to them, is neither one of them existed. Like I told my preceptor when I was a fourth year student, she's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to run this free clinic. Like once we had started it, she's like, that's not a job. This is like a volunteer once a week. And I'm like, no, this is what I want to do. And we made it the biggest free clinic in the country, and we published about it in JAMA.
Wow.
And I mean, like, it's just believing that what you do matters.
Yeah. Yeah. And then taking action, like you, it's, you know, you believe that it didn't exist at the time. And then you focus your attention on the little steps that you can take, you know, that then all of a sudden things materialize.
Yeah. So you believe what you do matters. And if you just keep believing that and you keep showing up and believing it matters, and you take action, take action. It's like the compound effect over time, right?
Absolutely.
It's always the eighth wonder of the world. They say in the financial area, right, is that the compound effect is, but I think in most things in life, the compound effect is, it will blow your mind.
Yeah. So now what is next? Because you know,
we never really know what's next.
What is next for Sunday Smith? Indeed.
So we were talking a little bit before we came on about like momentum and the like little victories, celebrating those little victories every single time. Like I remember the first time, like we, you know, when you're going to go to medical school, like you remember your first day in anatomy. Like all of us can remember our cadaver or whatever. Like, and when you go into entrepreneurship, like the first stranger from the internet that pays you money, you're like, this works. Oh my God, this is real. And then it happens again and again. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is real. And so now I think where I am, there's no doubt that this is a movement, right? That physicians believing that our mental health and that our, what we think and feel, and normalizing and humanizing our experience, we're not robots. We deserve to pee. We need breaks sometimes. Whatever these things are. Our children need us, all this stuff. That I think that, you know, I was probably, I mean, you were doing it way before almost anybody was doing it, right? Like, when did you start?
It hasn't been as long as people think. I mean, I started in 2016.
That's 4 years.
Yeah, it's 4 years. Yeah. I mean, I know, you know, I stand on the shoulders of like Michelle Much Riley and Dyke Drummond and, you know, Kathy Stephen, you know, shout out to y'all.
Yes, exactly. We all stand on their shoulders, totally.
Right.
But and then you started then around the same time that Katrina Udall started, which is someone, she trained where I did. And so she was one of those people in the podcast that eventually I listened to. And I was like, no, really, because she existed, I told my husband, I'm like, I'm not crazy. Because she exists and she's real and she's not crazy.
Right.
And I didn't yet know Dyke Drummond, but actually, interestingly, the week before I went to train as a life coach, he was speaking at the American Academy of Family Physicians, the national meeting for physician wellness. And I was like, what is this? This is the normal, first of all, it's a dude, it's a white dude, he's normal, and he's presenting at a national normal meeting, with like the big meeting. So I was like, maybe I'm not so crazy after all. But so what's next? This is a movement. I am part of a movement, right? And there's no, when I started, I think I only knew there was Katrina, right? So I knew there was one, and I thought it would be like the second. It turned out there was probably like 5 or 6 or 7 of us. Now there's like 170 of us that trained at the same space that I did. And so I think that this is, I think what's next is that there's a movement of physicians believing that if we have agency and we have choice and we know what we think and feel and experience and believe impacts the world, and we can probably start taking back medicine and making it more, I think the goal really is like change the whole culture of medicine. from what it started as.
Yeah.
You know, residents lived in the hospital. That's why they called them residents. And like, there were no women physicians. Right. Mm-hmm. And people certainly didn't like get married, have babies, live in their houses. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, anyway, this sacrificing yourself for others, I think the time has come that we don't need to do those things anymore.
Yeah.
So I think the culture of medicine is changing. And I think I'm also working with, because again, I sort of stumbled into business coaching, people who want to create a lot of impact inside and outside, which was the part I didn't expect to, of medicine, right? Yes. And so they all are like heart-centered, mission-driven people.
Yeah.
You know, so like say you're special needs pediatrician, right? And you like want to help people who are struggling with that work, right?
Yes.
Outside of the office.
Outside of the office, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what's next? Scaling, growing, always impacting more people.
Yeah.
Impacting more lives, normalizing this work. And I do think for me, normalizing what you think and feel is really important, the mental health part of it. And just again, how many times I spent my whole career as, you know, a medical student advisor telling people you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be, I swear to you, I've been down this road enough times. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I do that with physicians. Like what you're feeling is normal. It's all going to be fine. You can speak up. You don't have to like really sacrifice yourself forever until you're 65 and then die.
Yeah.
Like it's really, I just tell them you're human. It's you're human. You're human. Really, if I could put myself on like repeat, it would be like you. If I had an app, I would say, you'd like, you know, those 8-ball apps, you could just press
right.
And every time it would be like, you're human.
Right.
You're human.
It's like, oh, look at that. You're human.
I know. Whatever it is. And that comes with all these things. Like, of course we have feelings. Of course we need to rest. Of course we get angry and frustrated. Of course we have emotions, but also we have the ability to dream and then take action because, you know, we're kind of the one species on the planet that's given this ability to think about our thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And that causes a lot of suffering and it causes all the ingenuity and innovation and change in the world.
Yes. And I love the fact that we can think about our thinking because when we can think about our thinking, we can change our thinking.
Which, and then we can change our world.
And then you can change your world. That's right. That is exactly.
And then we have like this election from this past weekend.
Oh Lord.
Right? Where on Saturday, right? You change what you think. And her speech was very much like, you know, dream. What I wish I had the words in front of me, but it was like, just because you can't see it doesn't mean you can't believe that that is possible.
That's
for
right.
you. And then go do it. It was like dream with ambition, lead with conviction, and whatever, everyone get out of the way because we're doing this, right?
Yeah. So look, there's a phenomenon that is, and you know this, what you put your focus toward is what you create. Mm-hmm. So I strongly believe that why 4 years ago happened was because people were focused on what they didn't want rather than what they wanted, right? So it was like, oh no, I don't want this person. I don't want this person. I don't want this person. But the mind doesn't hear negatives. And so it was all like focused on this person. Mm-hmm. And so now this time around, it was different. It was like, ooh, we got to get this person in. We got to get this person in. We got to get this person. All the energy was focused on that. And it just goes to show that it's a matter of where you put your focus.
Totally.
That's where your action is going to go. Mm-hmm. That is because even when you're in this space of away from number one, you only put your foot on the gas as far as you can get away. You can get away from the discomfort and then you take your foot off the gas, but you're not creating enough momentum to push you forward, you know? And so I think that's the difference between this time. And I think that's important for people to know in their lives too, is like when you're creating that momentum, you know, it's like we can breathe and we can celebrate. We can pat ourselves on the back.
Where are we going? Yeah. Where are we going? Right. That's really like, really, where are we going? We need to think about what it is we want to create and not just all the things that have been created to date and how we don't want that.
Yeah. And we got to start early and take one baby step at a time. Every single day action, you know, it's like what in your business, what are the encumbrancing activities that you're doing every single day? That's the question that I always ask my clients. That's the question that I ask myself. You know, it doesn't have to be you're selling something every day. It's like little activities that put you towards your goal. Mm-hmm. The little things, whether it's the content, whether it's the talking to someone, interviewing someone at podcasts, writing an article, you know, that you're going to post, doing a live, whatever it is, you know, what are the little bitty steps you could do every day?
Yeah. And I always think too, like, since I was little, I remember when I was in kindergarten, I had to read a book. Haven't thought about this in forever, but like that was like a littering book. And it was like the little girl, I had memorized it to read to my class, and she threw out like one little piece of trash on the ground. And they were like, well, what if everyone did what you did? You know? And so I think in these moments too, it's like, yeah, what you're doing might seem little, whether it's entrepreneurship or speaking up in your work or speaking out against racial justice or saying who you're voting for and why, or saying what's right and wrong, or saying that's inappropriate when someone says you look good in your skirt, or like whatever that is. It's like, if everyone did what I'm doing, how would that impact the world? Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of in your business too, or in your personal
life, in your relationships, in
everything.
Yes, absolutely.
Conducting ourselves in a way that we would be happy that everyone was conducting themselves, and what would that impact be? So yeah, the kindergarten book, everything we needed to know, honestly, I think we learned in kindergarten, I think.
That's like a whole book. Everything you need to know, you learned in kindergarten.
Yes. Your kid is 6, mine is 7. And like the worksheets he comes home with, I'm not kidding you, I could literally like charge $15,000 to teach those to people. I'm not kidding. It's basically what I teach people.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like,
it's all context.
Yeah. How are you feeling? You're still growing. He has things like, can you do this? And you say yes or not yet, because they're still learning. Like, can you tie your shoes? Yes or not yet. Can you read the clock? Yes, not yet. Like all the stuff we're all trying to get our clients to do, right? It's like, oh, just not yet. I'm almost there. I'm going to keep going. And then how are you feeling? And they're like scared. And then they say why, and after write why they're feeling that. I'm like, because of your thinking, I can't, but this is like a second grade life coach, right? And like in school, at the public school, great. Like, you don't even know what you're getting.
Look, our kids are going to have it made. Yeah. They are going to be so, you know, because the way the culture is changing, you know, the schools. I mean, some cultures. My kid's in a charter school. I'm in Georgia. We're like, you know, close to the bottom here. But you know, still, like, there's a push towards a different culture of teaching. And so
I think growth mindset, I think Carol Dweck, I think, you know, the dean from Stanford did a lot of impacting what we think about telling ourselves we are fixed and are a certain way.
Yes.
Versus I am learning how to blah, blah, blah. I am learning that what I do matters. I am learning to use my voice. I am learning to speak up for myself. I am learning to speak up on behalf of others. I'm learning like all these things that we're learning. So I think that this generation, hopefully, if we've learned some things, we'll be able to make some big changes with that whole, like, we are learning.
Yeah.
All of us, there's a lot of things that as a culture, as a society, as generations, and as our kids, we are learning.
Yes.
That before we had sort of that, I mean, all of this stuff has been around forever, right? Like, there's Buddhist texts that talk a lot about all this, but to make things popularized and back in pop culture, I think is something that is changing for physicians now.
Yeah.
Right. It's part of our culture now that we have these Facebook groups and we have, you know, like entrepreneurs talking to each other. Because before Facebook, I was like, I'm the only person who's doing this. I'm such a weirdo.
Right.
But no, there's so many of us. Mm-hmm. It's a big community. And so same with our kids and same with everybody. And
yeah.
There's just lots of change afoot. I believe there's lots of change afoot.
Yeah, I think there is. And it's wonderful to be a part of that change with you. So thank you. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your community. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of that community and to even teach inside the community. It's just,
can't wait to have you back.
Yay! Me, I can't wait to come back. Your group is so fun. Your group is so fun. So I just thank you for coming on the show and, you know, just rapping with me about what's possible when you believe? And of course, you know, I got to ask you to give our listeners, where can they find you? What's your, you know, your website address, your, all your social media links, like tell us how they can get in touch with you.
I'm Empowering Women Physicians. So you can find a podcast called Empowering Women Physicians. Obviously, if they're listening, they're podcast listeners.
Right.
There's empoweringwomenphysicians.com. There's a Facebook group, as you mentioned, called Empowering Women Physicians. Yes, you have to be a woman and a physician to get in. Like my mom tried to come in, and you know, some people who are men try to come in, or some people who like are podiatrists or other things, you know, but for the Facebook group, you have to be a woman physician. Anyone can listen to the podcast, right? Any human can use the podcast. And then Instagram, I was Empowering Women Physicians, but I don't know, for some reason made me uncomfortable. So I changed it to Sunny Smith MD, you know, because it seems more personal, because I'm like, where's my personal thing over
right.
there? Anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I'm not there as much. But that's where I am. Google, whatever, you can find me. I'm not hard to find.
Very cool. Sunny, yeah. Sunny Smith, sunny personality, sunny soul, sunny spirit.
Thank you, Maisha. It's beautiful to know you and to be a part of your world.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Likewise. Well, y'all heard it right here. We have Dr. Sunny Smith, Empowering Women Physicians. You all check her out, please. You would not regret it. If you are a woman and you are a physician, you need to be in that group, because it's going down in Empowering Women Physicians. I promise you that. And listen to her podcast. So once again, I want to thank all of you all for listening today. Without my audience, there is no podcast. And just know that we have lots of work to do. So keep empowering each other, empower yourselves. And I look forward to you seeing you on the next podcast. Thank you again, Dr. Sunny.
Thank you.
All right, y'all take care. Namaste.
Thanks for spending time with us on this episode of Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box. We hope you enjoyed this one as much as the rest. Remember to go ahead and hit the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is released. It is you as our listener who help our podcast to grow. So if you like this podcast, if you enjoy what you're hearing, if you are inspired, we'd really appreciate it if you'd write a quick review and share it with 5 of your friends. We want to continue to expand our reach and bring this transformation to all of those doctors and medical professionals out there who are still seeking more autonomy, more freedom, more expression, and purpose in their careers and lives. Finally, if you want to learn more about how I can help you as a doctor or medical professional transform your mindset, leverage your skill set, and create a profitable business and career you love by your design, please check out my website, www.drmaisha.com. That's drmaisha.com. On my website, you can access one of my 3 free masterclasses to get you started on your journey to the next level. Have a wonderful rest of the day and an amazing rest of the week, y'all. And keep your head up, looking to the next level. Namaste.